This is Conor Lennon from UN News. Artificial intelligence systems are being used in an increasingly large range of toys, games, and educational tools targeting children, but there are few safeguards in place to protect them. The UN Children's Agency UNICEF has developed guidance to help policymakers protect children following consultations with private companies, experts, and young people. Yasmina Byrne, Policy Chief at the UNICEF Global Insights Team, and Stephen Vosloo, a UNICEF Data Research and Policy Specialist, both worked on the guidance. They explained to me that they were motivated by the huge growth of AI in everyone's lives.
We at UNICEF were seeing that AI was a very hot topic and very current and was being recognized as something that would fundamentally change society and economies and the world today, and even more so in incoming generations. But when we looked at the national AI strategies and even the corporate policies and guidelines that were being developed, we realized that not enough attention was being paid to child users and to children and to how AI impacts them. And not just today, but obviously that impact will grow even more. And so we started this project with the government of Finland, who's been our partner, to look at how we can develop more child-centered AI. We realized that guidance was needed to inform policies and practice, and so we developed such a guidance, which we released last year as a draft, and we went through a fairly extensive consultation process to develop that, speaking to experts around the world, adult experts, but also holding consultations with children, almost 250 children in five countries. And that led to the guidance. And after releasing it, we invited governments and organizations and companies to pilot the guidance, because it's very easy to put down AI principles. There are over 160 different principles in the world for ethical AI and responsible AI. It's much more difficult to practice that. And so we've invited anyone really to use the guidance. And we've been working with eight organizations who have been piloting the guidance, and we are developing case studies around that. So to be able to share the lessons learned of how they've applied the guidance in their particular context and with children in their situation.
So were you concerned that even when we're talking about a product like a toy, which is targeted towards children, that the AI used in that was not necessarily appropriate to be used with a child?
Again, it depends how it's used and what kind of protections have been put in place. So if you have an AI-enabled toy, it will be using potentially computer vision to see the child, to see the room for image or object recognition, using natural language processing to understand words and instructions. And so it's collecting a lot of data from that child in terms of conversations. That data is being stored in the cloud, often on commercial servers, and that's a very intimate space for a child to be talking to a toy. And are there enough privacy considerations, surveillance potential considerations? Is the system secure enough? We know of instances where toys have been hacked, and so, for example, in Germany, those types of toys were banned because it just wasn't safe enough.
And you also say that children are interacting with or are impacted by AI systems that are not designed for them.
Yasmina's research with others has shown that at least one third of all online users are children. And we often get younger children using platforms that are social media platforms or video sharing platforms or even search that isn't designed for them at all. And so we really need to think about issues around privacy and around data, potential profiling of users. And I think that this is a really important point, that when any of us use these systems, that they are designed in a certain way, often for maximum engagement, and are built on a certain level of profiling based on data sets that may not represent you as a child and your particular individual characteristics. But you may be profiled in a way that puts you in a certain bucket. It may determine what kind of educational opportunities you have in the future or what benefits you can access. For children, it's really not just impacting them today, but it could set their whole life course on a different direction. And so that kind of predictive analytics and profiling is particularly relevant when dealing with children and setting their life direction.
Can you just explain what you mean by that?
So, for example, let's say there was an AI-driven educational system that is based on adaptive learning that really gets to know a child and their learning style and collects a lot of information and from that says, this child is a particular learner, X particular learner, or Y particular type of learner, and therefore these subjects or this kind of career option is best suited. But those systems are based on data sets that may not actually have data that represents all different learning styles or all different types of personality traits or learning types. And so it may not accurately actually set, you know, give an accurate reading of ability and of opportunity.
Yeah, like you remember, Steve, when I think last year there was the big news about how some schools in the UK were using this algorithms to predict the final grades of high schoolers. And because the data that was input into these algorithms was skewed towards children from private schools, the results were really appalling, and they really discriminated against a lot of children who were from minority communities. So they had to abandon that system. So that's just one of the examples how if algorithms are based on data that is biased can actually have a really negative consequences for children.
And this goes back to what you were saying before. We're not having a judgment on the technology itself, but the way it's applied. So Data scientists are the ones at the front line here. Is your advice, do you think, going to filter down to those people who are actually writing the code?
We really do hope so. Our policy guidance has been aimed at two broad audiences. The one is at governments and policymakers who are increasingly setting strategies for AI, but also beginning to think about regulating AI. And then there's the commercial sector and the private sector that often develops these AI systems. We hope that the guidance filters down to them. We do see competing interests and the research on in AI systems in the industry reflects this, that the decisions around AI systems often have to balance kind of a profit margin or profit kind of incentive versus an ethical one. And so what we advocate for is that it's kind of a whole organization-wide commitment to responsible AI that really comes from the top. It's not just the decision of the data scientist or the software developer at the bottom, but it really gets the support from all the way from top management or from senior government levels.
It's one of the things that we are particularly concerned about is commercial marketing and targeting of children for commercial purposes. The project that we were talking about today about AI, we also had another initiative on data governance where we really examined very closely how this children's personal data, their consumer data, their browsing data that they the data footprint they leave by using digital technology is commercialized and used by third parties for their own profit and for their own gain. And obviously, children are often, because of this maximization of algorithms for commercial purposes, they're often targeted by ads that are not really appropriate for them. Sometimes they could be really harmful. And very often children are completely unaware that these are even ads. They think that they are like legitimately links that are provided to them to click because they liked something many times and so on. So this is something that we really closely follow and monitor. And we have to say that there is more, I would say, political appetite to address these issues and child protection and protection of personal data when it comes to children, particularly at some levels of some governments. And we are working very closely with the rest of the colleagues in our organization to actually see how we can put these issues on the agenda of policymakers.
Now, I'm sure there's no silver bullet for this, but and I'll put the question to both of you. If there was one thing that you could get governments to change, what would that be?
I think I would say that really governments need to think and put children in the center of all their policymaking around frontier digital technologies, and to understand that this generation of children are not only, as Steve was pointing out, really avid users of these technologies, but that also they are future developers. And if we don't think about them and their needs, and don't approach them in a way that they're central to all the discussions of the future of AI, then we are really missing great opportunities.
I would certainly second that point. And we've often said if child-centered AI isn't just good for children, it's good for everyone. And so recognizing, as Yasmina said, that this is a significant user base, not just today, but into the future. What we've also seen is that governments like Scotland, they released their AI strategy in March, and they officially adopted the UNICEF policy guidance on AI for children. And part of that was because the government as a whole has adopted the Convention on the Rights of the Child into law, and Sweden's done the same. And so when governments begin to put children not just in the digital space, but more broadly at the center, then the other pieces fall in. But the digital is a huge piece, given how much children's lives are not really online or offline anymore. It's just life for them, and it's a digital life.